Some time ago, it must have been a few months now, I devoted an hour of this show to two filmmakers, and the film being Hot Shot, which was a revelation to me. It was about firefighting. You know, we in Chicago, and I've always considered this town a town, you know, seriously built on and because of fire, but this was a real revelation to me. Gabriel Mann was a director, writer, narrator, and cinematographer. My friend, our mutual friend, Phil Donlan, was the one of the producers. I'm having them both back on to talk about this because it has seemed to me, and we've always kept in touch, that the fires, and tell me I'm wrong, guys, it seems like these fires have come a bit early, frighteningly so. Yes, and hi, both of you.
Yeah, hey, Rick, thanks for having us on yet again and always supporting us. It's great to be on.
It's a great, it's a great
fine
movie.
People of the Midwest.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Yeah, yeah. And Gabe can talk all about that stuff. He's the brilliant mind behind it. I'm just the lowly producer.
Yeah, well, the power behind the film. Gabe, am I wrong about this, or does it seem like fire season has started early?
Well, first off, Rick, I would never tell you that you're wrong, but you actually aren't. And clearly the movie had an impact on you because you're able to read the tea leaves better than most people. You're 100% right. We're off to one of the fastest starts of wildfire season in memory, and it's a little bit troubling because the weather conditions aren't there yet, but we're seeing an insane amount of fire activity. So it's actually quite ominous for the rest of the year. And the thing that I always have to call attention to folks out in the Midwest is, just as you put it, brother, Chicago is a fire town.
Oh, yeah.
The Midwest is fire country. The thing is, fire operates on cycles. And in the Midwest, it's a 150-year cycle. The last time you guys punched that ticket was
1871. Yep.
That was 150 years ago.
Yep.
And that's about how long it takes for those fuels to rebuild and get ready. So, brother, you're right. We're up to a very ominous start. It's kind of odd. This always seems to happen during election years, but here we are. 2020 was bad. It looks like this year might even be worse.
Do you not think, though, fellas, and either of you on this one, but don't you think the whole, you know, certainly an event like yesterday is going to distract people from other things going on in the world, but this being an election year, the money that should be devoted to the fighting of fires is certainly going to be, I don't think anybody's going to step up at either one of the conventions and address that. You know, it kind of takes a real back seat. Do you not think, and isn't that a cause for some alarm?
It's a tremendous cause of alarm.
Yeah.
The last time we spoke, you know, I'd called attention to, and I do this in the film as well.
Yep.
Our federal wildland firefighters are facing a 40% pay cut. Now,
right.
Congress did a stopgap measure that's about to expire in 2 months, right around the time of the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Look, frankly, what happened yesterday, it's a distraction because it's maybe the most, the largest, most dramatic inflection points in our history since
yep.
JFK. So it's understandable.
Sure.
But the fires don't sleep, and this is a problem. So we're at risk of losing half of our wildfire firefighter workforce in the next 2 months if Congress doesn't prevent this pay cut from coming in. And so there is the issue is, frankly, it's all the people who don't think they live in fire country. They have a hard time having any interest in bugging their congressmen to do this. A lot of congressmen out west, it's in their face, so they're ready to vote for this. But, you know, folks in the Midwest, folks in the South who don't necessarily see a lot of wildfire because they manage their forests better, those are the ones who have to pay attention because it's only a matter of time, and we're going to lose half of our firefighting workforce. It's going to be pretty devastating for a lot of homes. And frankly, wildfire is the biggest threat to this country.
See, one of the things, and you talk to this, because I have seen, because some of the people on the staff of this show have also seen and been wildly impressed by the movie Hot Shot. And you can go get it. It's hotshotmovie.com. You can find it anywhere. You can rent it. You can watch it. The thing that gets to me is that you watch the news and you watch so-called weather reports. And okay, I get it that a hurricane is a big deal and a hurricane makes great video. But, you know, I think I would rather have some news devoted to fires and the problem with wildfires than I would to how the people in Phoenix are don't have enough water fountains. Do you know what I mean? A heat wave's a heat wave, but a fire is a vastly different and vastly more dangerous thing.
Rick, you're not only are you 100% right, but the other aspect of this is a lot of our problems with wildfire are man-made.
Yes.
Not only do we cause 90% of the fires, mm-hmm. but unlike hurricanes and tornadoes, we could actually prevent them entirely, but it takes proactive removal of these fuels and active forest management. Florida does an excellent job of this. So they
as you point out, Gabe, in the movie, I mean, that's one of the other revelations of this movie, that this is a problem that can be controlled. There's a lot of work involved in that, but it is not like some God is not making wildfires. People are. That's my theory.
Well, we can manage it if we choose to do it. And Rick, you touched on that point. The last screening that we did of Hot Shot out in East Tennessee, people audibly gasped at that one scene where we talk about Florida. When I said that Florida proactively burns in 1 year more than California has burned in the last 50 years. They don't believe that. The thing is, I was wrong, because since the film has come out, that's been reduced to Florida burns 75 times more than California does. They've amped up their burning.
Yeah.
So it's gotten worse, and we can prevent it. But yeah, that's one of the most devastating parts in the film, because you realize this is just about human willpower and collective understanding of wildfire. And frankly, like you mentioned earlier with the news, it's really only when structures are burning in California that anybody cares.
Of course.
But we have wildland firefighters. We've already had several die just in the last week. And it's early in fire season, so it's only going to get worse. And this problem never sleeps. It's something we have to tend to every year, and we can actually control it. We just got to understand it.
See, one of the things I think, and Phil, talk to me about this too, because you came to this movie after Gabe had been working on it through it started with a sort of love affair with one of the rare female squad bosses of a hotshot crew in Southern California. When you first encountered this thing, it had to be a revelation for you. What flabbergasted me, I wish at each of the conventions there would be an evening screening of this film. I think it would now that I think about it, it's a great idea, frankly, because I think you're right. People think, oh yeah, that's something that happens, you know, just outside Santa Barbara, and until, you know, unless it happens to Oprah's house in Montecito, no one's gonna care. Phil, it scared you, did it not, this film?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, on the tail end, you know, when he brought me in, you know, we were trying to figure out, you know, he had all this footage, all this beautiful footage he'd been shooting for years. Brought me in. We needed to find a story. I did go out with Gabe probably on the last year. Mm-hmm. And I was right there with him, and it was absolutely terrifying. And I'm glad that I did that, because it did help me understand when we had the picture in post, the story, you know, the story we needed to tell. But I've said this before, this is the most important thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I know.
It really is as a producer. And you know, just to say, cause I think we were on last September or October when the film first came out, you know, I just want to thank you and your audience, because I just want to remind, them, we did this thing without Hollywood.
Oh, I know.
Our own money into it.
Yep.
We put this thing out ourselves. Distribute it, which, you know, it's all great, but it's really difficult to let the world know your film exists and where, you know, to be able to rent it. And, you know, just to let everyone know, since then, we are now the highest rated number one firefighting movie of all time between scripted and documentary.
Wow.
On IMDb right now, beating out Backdraft, beating out Bring Your Own Brigade. I mean, and that's just, I mean, we did that. You did that. Your audience did that. And so this whole entire, you know, and what it comes back to is the story. We had opportunities to do this with studios
No,
in Hollywood.
Well, it also comes
back
to...
But they wanted to change it. They wanted to change the story, and we thought, we really need to remain true to the message that we want to tell. And this is coming from somebody who is executive producing a doc right now at Amazon. I mean, I've got a foot in both, world. And so I understand it. And the independent way is a very difficult road to go down, but we've done it, and it's only because of your audience and you and others out there that have made this a success.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Gabe, what has been, have you two guys been approached by any politician in any kind of powerful position about the film? Said, look, this is going to be, and one could easily do this, say, this is going to be my cause. I am a congressman from Nevada, and this is what I am going to hook my political career on. Has that happened at all? Have the politicians responded to the film in the way they should?
Well, of course, they haven't all responded in the way that they should.
Of course not, yeah.
We hope that they would.
Yes.
But I have to give props. Senator Romney, actually, his office reached out to me and requested a private viewing link of the film after I showed a half-hour segment in front of the U.S. Forest Service Deputy Chief, Congressman John Curtis in Utah. And this was at this wonderful wildfire conference called the Wildfire Industry Collective. And Senator Romney watched the film, and he actually recently he put out his own legislation, the Ember Act.
I'm so
and
glad
enacted
this. Yeah.
Yeah, some improvements and recommendations that came straight out of the film.
Wow.
So I got to be honest, as cynical as I get, the fact that when they requested the link to the film, I thought, okay, that's very, very kind of them, but I didn't think anything would come of it. But as I'm reading this legislation that just came out a few weeks ago, I'm like, this sounds like some of my narration.
Wow.
They actually watched this thing.
Wow.
So look, Senator Romney is on his way out. I think it's great that he's trying to do some good, especially because within that act, he's trying to do something for the firefighters and for pay issues and retention and mental health breaks. So I commend him for doing that. I just pray to God that we have the political momentum, especially in this chaotic year, that's something that we can drill down and just button it up. There's so much money going to so many different things. I understand why people don't want to spend. The thing is, we save money if we raise their pay. Because if you don't, you lose all those stud veterans that they've been in there for 15 years, and you have to replace them with new guys who are going to get people killed. And that's just the sad reality, and that's just going to be so much more devastating. So one of those things where we just got to bring more attention to it. So as Phil said, I appreciate you because, frankly, man, if it weren't for your audience, we would just be sort of lost in all the noise. But the fact that we've been able to get to the place where we're at with the rating that we have and the visibility, it's just incredible. And people are learning a lot from it and then applying it and sharing it. And it's that sharing that's really been, a godsend for us.
I'm glad.
Some of the messages we've gotten, by the way, really, I mean, sorry to interrupt, but some of the messages we've gotten from the audience, either through the website or social media, has been so humbling to us. I mean, it's the best review we could ever get. Some of the things that our audience members are telling us, and if anyone at the RNC or CNC wants to do a screening of this film, we will be there immediately with the picture. So
I just think happy to do that.
I don't
particularly like political conventions, but I think that would be a great idea. You two guys hold on for a couple minutes, and I'll come back. And I want you to tell people a little bit more. This movie is it will jar you, and justifiably jar you, because there's a real intimacy to it. And I want both Gabriel Mann and Phil Donlon to tell you a little bit more about it and then tell you where you can see it. We'll be back in a couple minutes. I have a few more minutes with filmmaker Gregory Mann, the director, writer, narrator, cinematographer of a movie called Hot Shot, which is co-produced by my friend, our mutual friend, Phil Donlon. It is... you filmed, Gabe, over what period of time, and how much? I remember you had hours of film that made this movie. Yes,
More than hours. I mean, I had years of film, so I spent 6 years filming this. And I lived it. I did all the same training as the Hotshots. I was right alongside of them. And, you know, that's a part of why it has such an feel to it. Because, you know, typically when it comes to documentaries, people, it's they're carpetbaggers. They come in, they learn about the subject for about a year.
They interview a couple people and they're gone.
Yeah. And they move on. But I lived it. I mean, I was out on these fires. I would camp out in the back of my Jeep and I was eating MREs and sleeping in the same clothes for 2 weeks at a time. And I did that for 6 years straight. Mm. And so we were knee deep in this. And I think that's part of why it really resonates, because we got so close with the firefighters. Yeah. They were really themselves. Yep.
And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something else. The film is does not bog down. This is one of the great documentaries I've ever seen. I say that as a former TV film critic, that it is not bogged down with the typical, you know, talking heads. These firefighters who are putting their lives on the line are not sitting there in the film telling you, well, why they did this and I had a lousy childhood, so I wanted to fight fires or something. there's an intimacy to the actions, and you get to know these people in a kind of strange.
Yeah, Rick, I'm so happy you brought this up, because, of course, we would forget all of this because we've been with this thing
for course,
so long.
Sure, sure.
Again, this was a conscious effort when we were cutting the picture to not do talking heads. We wanted this to play, although it's a documentary, we wanted it to play like a narrative film, like a Terrence Malick film or something.
Yeah.
That's how we wanted it to play, and we achieved that, and that's a rare thing.
Well, there's a real punch. There's a real punch to the intimacy of this thing, because you do, and Gabe, you were there for these 6 years, you do, as a viewer, get the sense that you are with these people. You described it to me once, Gabe. You said, simply put, a hotshot is one who puts out fires without the use of water. They will roll up their, they'll roll their eyes when I say this, but they are like the Navy SEALs going to the most remote parts of fires to clear the land, and few ever get to see what they do, the danger and work involved. Those few can be increased by those of you who decide to rent and watch this film. Where can people, what are the easiest ways to see this, fellas?
Google Play, Apple, we've got it on Vudu, we've got it on Amazon, Amazon Prime. Gabe, am I getting all of them? I think that's,
you nailed it. And we also have it on our website, hotshotmovie.com. And that's a way to support us directly. And we also have a link up to, Rick, your article about us in the Tribune.
Oh, good.
And for some people who have issues, like up in Canada, or overseas, the easiest way is just through the website, but it's doing very well on Amazon. And again, I can't thank you enough for broadcasting this. And
I just think I got to tell you guys, it's such an important issue, and I might not have thought that 2 years ago. I would have thought, well, okay, the evening news is on, and wow, there's a fire above Santa Barbara, and I hope no one gets hurt. Period. It has never, to my mind, gotten the kind of conventional national coverage that wildfires do. There's sort of, you know, some interest will be sparked and someone will go, you know, you'll see someone interviewed saying, well, this is a pretty bad wildfire season, and that's it. But in seeing Hotshot, you have a different perspective on the tremendous importance of funding this and changing the way. Do other countries, Gabe, do a better job? You know, I'm not saying, I don't know about Canada, do a better job of sort of controlling or trying to control these things? Because it sure seems like the United States does almost virtually nothing except Florida.
The United States, particularly out west, does absolutely the worst job. They do the most fire suppression, and they do not do any proactive burning. Canada is a very unique place. The boreal forest in North America actually requires stand replacing fires every 150 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're seeing in Canada right now, it's very healthy for the forest. Canada is starting to do it wrong. They are starting to do what California does. They're trying to put out all these fires because the media makes everybody so terrified, and they do not tell people that the black spruce forest requires fire. It needs it to regenerate. That's why all the trees are the same height, they're the same age, because they all go away every 150 years.
That's right. You do such a great, I mean, the Native Americans had it together. They were smarter than anybody running the forestry department now, that's for sure. They let, they yep. didn't mess with nature. They let nature take its course. Fellas, I don't know how much more. I just, this is a real good cause, and I hope it changes, because if it doesn't, people are going to keep dying. And the firefighters can't work for no money. It's insane to me.
We didn't make the picture for Hollywood fame or money. Otherwise, we would have certainly partnered up with them and done it this way. So we really do see the picture as an important vehicle to really get the message out.
Yep.
So the more people can watch it, and again, we Gabe spent years and spent a lot of our finance, all of our finances. So we are passionate about it. So yeah, we thank you so much, Rick.
There's no question. Anytime, fellas, anytime.
Thank you.
Gabriel Mann and Phil Donlan, co-producers. Gabe does most of the other work, director, writer, narrator, and cinematographer. Go to hotshotmovie.com. Rent it, watch it. It will change your life, and in so doing, may change the dangers lurking out there. Fellas, take good care of yourselves, will you?
Thank you.
Thank you. Tell Rick Pearson I say hello.
Oh, of course I will, and all your other dear friends in Chicago.
Exactly.
Take care.
Thank you.